Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Nikki G. from San Diego.
All right, my name is Nikki G. I am an alcoholic. I would like to welcome all the newcomers tonight and everyone that took tokens. Congratulations. It's a phenomenal group there. So, I told myself that I wasn't going to be nervous, but I'm a little nervous. But yet, I am amongst friends and my family. You know, my family back home in Kentucky and Ohio, they love me dearly and I love them. But this is where I really feel connected, you know, being in these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, where I'm taught how to live my life. So I was born in Ohio and I was raised in Kentucky. So I started drinking like a Kentucky girl quite some time ago, and you know, it was fun to drink all that Kentucky bourbon and run around, and I learned what country cruising was. Country cruising is where you go out in a pickup truck and you drink up a lot of beer, and every now and again you pull off to the side of the road and you shine your headlights in a field and you yell beer. Yeah, that was what I called fun back then. Today, things are a little bit different. Let me tell you, I got out here to San Diego, and I was still, you know, that Kentucky girl. My twang only comes out now, and I'm a little bit nervous, so if you hear it, that's why. You know, so I made it out here to Kentucky, to San Diego, yikes, and I continued drinking, and, you know, out here, I was away from my family, and I got this great job working with children. So there I was, working with your children as an alcoholic. And so I drank all night, and then I would go into work. I would just, you know, be all hungover and trying to work with these children and be all hungover and everything else. That just wasn't working. My drinking really escalated because I was away from my family, and I didn't have anyone, you know, to really answer to. So that's what I did. I just drank a lot. Now, when I was growing up, I learned that an alcoholic was homeless. They got plenty of DUIs, and they did all these really crazy things, and it was very obvious, like, who was the alcoholic and who wasn't. But I grew up in a home with a functioning alcoholic, and that was somehow better than, you know, what we knew as an alcoholic. So the fact that I was going home from work and I wouldn't go anywhere after work except home or to the liquor store to drink, you know, made it okay for me. But it wasn't okay. You know, I drank a lot, and I drank a lot at home. And the reason that I didn't get any DUIs is because I didn't have a life. And if I did, I was always nominated the designated driver, the designated drunk driver, because I just was so paranoid and white-knuckling it all the way home, and no matter how much fun I had throughout the night, like, it ended up in misery, because, you know, I had to get home. There was plenty of nights where I don't remember driving home, and I never got a DUI or anything, but, I think I was just lucky. You know, there were so many times, like, where I could have killed someone, or there's so many times where I should have gotten a DUI. I actually got pulled over by the police a couple of times and was able somehow to get out of that. So, you know, I feel like I was lucky. And so here I go. I'm working with your children. I'm in and out of relationships, mostly with men who drank like I did or allowed me to drink how I wanted to drink. And it was about 3.5 years ago when my boyfriend broke up with me. Now, that's where y'all are supposed to say, "Oh," not really. It was pretty pathetic. This guy had asked my dad for my hand in marriage, so I decided to drink him away. And it's pretty much what happened. You know, he didn't drink like me. He was a little bit different. So I decided that it was a good idea to drink behind his back, and I took every opportunity to do that. When I would go over to visit with him, I would say, "Oh, I forgot something in my car." And then I'd come back and I just, like, couldn't see straight. Or I was passed out on the couch and he's wondering, like, "Why? This girl's really tired. You know, like, what's wrong with her?" And I'd always say, like, "Oh, I work with kids and they just drain me. You know, that's what it is." You know, it was pretty ridiculous. But that experience in itself, it really shook me. Now, look, I came into these rooms 3.5 years ago, and I heard you all say, like, oh, I earned my seat, and I did this, and I did that. You know, I got all these DUIs and all that. So I took that as a reason for me to go back out, because I didn't have all of those things, and I, you know, thought maybe I needed to go earn my seat. But that was a big lesson for me, just hearing that. Like, I know today that I don't have to do all of those things. I can learn from everyone in these rooms, and that's what is important to me. So anyhow, I ended up, after this little breakup, staying at home, and I drank for 3 days straight, and I didn't call into work, and I didn't show up, and I ended up going in eventually and just telling them that I needed to leave work early. And I had gone into a counselor's appointment, one in which I was supposed to go into with this boy I was dating. And the lady looked at me and she said, you know, because I was drunk, you know, maybe you need to go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm like, no, you're crazy. Like, I'm not. Like, I haven't done anything wrong. Like, no, you're nuts. But the next day that I went into work, I went and talked to my boss. And I said, yeah, so I haven't been to work in 3 days and I need to leave early today. And she looked at me like I was crazy. I was lucky enough to even have a job at that point. And she told me, you know, well, anyway, I told her I needed to go to this meeting at 2:30. Now, I looked in the book, and I saw that the next available meeting was, like, around 4:30 or 5. I got off work at 3, and I didn't think I could make it from 3 o'clock until 4:30 or 5 o'clock when the next meeting started. So that's why I wanted to leave work early. I left work at 2 o'clock, and I went down to the Alana Club in PB, and there was a meeting there at 2:30. And I walked into that room, and I announced that I was an alcoholic, and nothing that I've ever said has been so true. You know, I sat there, and I listened to myself say that, and I was like, wow, here I am. So I listened to everyone share, and again, like, there were some people there that shared a lot of crazy stories, and then I didn't really relate to that. But a lot of what everyone said, I did relate to, and it meant something to me. So I stuck around. Now, I did this for a little while. I made it a year. And around the six-month mark, I had decided that it was a good idea to ignore my sponsor's suggestion, and I started dating someone with a lot of time. And when that relationship ended, I decided that I was not going to give him my sobriety, but I would kind of switch things up a little bit and maybe go into a maintenance program, if you know what I mean. So for the next year, I did that, and I didn't go to meetings, and I didn't call my sponsor, and I didn't want anything to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was in a lot of pain. I was struggling at my job. I had gotten a new director at the center, and she was just fed up with my bad attitude, and I'm all preaching that I haven't drank, and I'm great because of it. But I wasn't doing anything. I was doing the same exact things that I was doing with alcohol, with this other substance, and it wasn't working for me. So she so kindly gave me a 10-day suspension from work, unpaid, which I decided to go ahead and go up to the beach in San Onofre and just have a good conversation with God. Him and I were going to talk. So I went up, and I was camping on the beach all by myself. And I'm like, well, okay, you know, this is great. This is great. You know, I know I have to quit doing this other thing, so I'm just going to drink. Like, that's what I really want to do anyways. And 2 years has gone by, and I'm fed up. Like, this is that. Like, I'm done. So I had this big plan. My firewood was delivered at, or was going to be delivered at 5:30. So I decided I was going to drink after it was delivered. Well, the firewood came at 5:30, and God proceeded to lock my keys in my trunk, so I couldn't go anywhere. And so I'm like, oh, all right, I get it. You know, you're in charge. That's fine. The very next day, I walked down that beach. I put my head in the sand. I said, God, just tell me where to start. You know, I need a new job, I need this, I need that, I need. And I walked back down the strand there, and this guy came up and said, you know, I heard you yelling last night that you don't drink. Do you happen to be a friend of Bill W.? I get it. So April 23rd, 2013 is my sobriety date. I have a sponsor that I adore. I've been working the steps. I got all through my 12 steps. I sponsor other women. I look forward to being of service in this program. That's what has really saved my behind this time, getting involved, staying in the middle of the herd, and just accepting the love that comes in from this amazing group of people that I never would have expected to have, like, in my life. And it's just completely full now. I am so, so grateful, Damien. Thank you so much for asking me to be here tonight. This is a huge fear for me, and to walk through it is really nice. It feels good. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Nikki. We will have a drawing at the end of the meeting, so if you don't have a ticket,